Winning once is hard enough.
The wait is over.
How sweet it is, the fruits of victory.
But this year's battle...
Show the Giants who the real bosses are in the NL West.
...is for back-to-back.
Let's go, Dodgers. Let's do back-to-back. Conquer for Kirsch.
Welcome to Postseason Dodger Talk.
I'm grateful for your show.
And I love listening to you, especially on the game.
Your chance to sound off on the boys in blue. Call the show at 866-987-2570.
Without you guys, there's no Dodger Talk.
LA Dodger Baseball is brought to you by Chef Marito,
seasoning partner of the Dodgers,
Navien Tankless Water Heaters.
For endless hot water, visit tanklessmadesimple.com.
And by Chevrolet.
Find new roads.
Now your host for Postseason Dodger Talk, David Vassay.
Welcome to Dodger Talk. David Vassay live at a very windy Dodger Stadium as the leftover trash is flying down from the reserve and top deck level. An abnormal night of wind here at Dodger Stadium that did have an effect on how many runs were scored tonight, but the Giants got the one they needed as they shut out the Dodgers in Game 3 of the NLDS by a final score of 1-0. Evan Longoria's leadoff home run in the fifth inning, the only run scored in tonight's game. We are taking your phone calls until 11:30 tonight at 866-987-2570. Jerry Hairston Jr. from Sportsnet LA will check in at 11 p.m. and we'll also head back downstairs to hear from the Giants that made a difference in the game tonight, including Brandon Crawford, who we all agree up here may have made the play of the series, robbing Mookie Betts of what would have been a game-tying hit, at the very least a single to score Steven Souza Jr. in the bottom of the seventh inning. But Brandon Crawford leaped up and robbed Betts of a ball that would have been in the left center field gap that would have scored Souza from second base to tie this score. Not to mention, the Dodgers had a hit by Chris Taylor that was sent to deep center field, and Steven Duggar, who is known for his defense, made a great catch to rob Taylor of extra bases that also would have scored Justin Turner, likely all the way from first base because he was on the move. So the wind did have a factor in tonight's game, but as you heard Albert Pujols say in the post-game interviews, you can't use that as an excuse because the Giants could say the same thing. Chris Taylor made three really great defensive plays in center field tonight, battling the wind, including one that was hit to the wall by Mike Yastrzemski in the sixth inning. So the Giants could say the same thing as the Dodgers. So both teams had to deal with the conditions. I know, very disappointing for the Dodger side because not only Chris Taylor's hit in the sixth inning turned out to be an out, but more importantly, Gavin Lux, what would have been a game-tying home run in the ninth inning with two outs, turned out to be just a fly ball to end the game off of Camino Duval, and the Dodgers fall to the San Francisco Giants 1-0 in Game 3 of the NLDS. Alex Wood, former Dodger, did a number on his former teammates, and you know, you're wondering, is it the Dodger hitters or is it Alex Wood? It was a little bit of both. And the one guy that I always bounce ideas off of, Rick Monday, who's still in the booth with us, but also my guy Mark McGuire as well. And what McGuire told me he saw was Alex Wood was definitely pounding the inner half against right-handed hitters, and that was throwing them off. And also, when he did miss in the strike zone, he was missing low. He wasn't missing high in the strike zone. And the feedback I got from Rick Monday here in the booth was, Alex did a great job of pitching. He was taking stuff off the ball. He was adding to the ball. He was moving the ball in and out. So he just did a masterful job of pitching. And it was a little surprising that he was taken out of the game after striking out Max Scherzer in the bottom of the fifth inning with two outs. But because of analytics and the data, which says you don't allow a pitcher to face a lineup three times, Gabe Kapler went to his bullpen and Tyler Rogers, and Rogers was able to get Mookie Betts to ground out for the final out of that inning. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Max Scherzer pitched really, really well tonight for the Dodgers. He went 7 innings, gave up 3 hits. The one that hurts is the home run to Evan Longoria in the 5th inning, but he had 10 strikeouts and only 1 walk. The Dodger offense just couldn't score runs for him, and he deserved a better fate. Let's head downstairs right now to hear from the Dodgers right-hander, Mad Max Scherzer.
Yeah, like I said, I made a lower half adjustment, and that synced me up. That synced up my upper half. When I was able to get through the first inning, I didn't realize how much the wind was going to affect me. The wind was really pushing me towards home plate, and it was pretty strong tonight. And then once I was able to get through the second inning, and that's when I really felt like I found some rhythm. And was able to start executing pitches, and then was really from that point forward able to execute with 5 pitches, and I feel like that's what made for a good outing. But you get to the postseason, you can always lose by 1 pitch. You can always that comes into play, and tonight I lost on 1 pitch.
We'll go on the right side.
Hey Max, on that pitch to Longoria, are you happy with the pitch selection in retrospect and just mad at execution, or is that one you wish you had taken a different way?
So I'm seeing it, so I needed to figure out where, if I was trying to go fastball up, trying to get above the zone, probably didn't get above the zone. But it is what it is. You got to figure out why you didn't execute that pitch and then turn the page and move on. Sucks.
We'll go to Dylan here on the left side.
Max, if you guys are going to advance, whether it's tomorrow or in Game 5, Walker Buehler is going to have to give you guys a good start there. Just in your time here, what have you seen from him? What about him has impressed you?
Watching him from afar, he's got such great mechanics. The way he gets through the ball allows him to explode through the ball. And he's got such a great curveball to go with it. And then, obviously, he's figured out this year how to add a little cutter. And that really gives him some ability to keep the mix on. And then he also has a changeup to go with it as well, and he can kind of manipulate his cutter as well. So he's got a very diverse mix of pitches that makes him very successful, and he's fearless out there. He goes out there and attacks his zone. And so when he gets synced up and he executes his pitches, he's nails.
All right, there's Max Scherzer, who is the tough luck loser tonight, and so are the Dodgers as they go 2-1 down in the NLDS after being shut out by the San Francisco Giants tonight by a final score of 1-0. You heard the question about Walker Buehler. I had an inkling that Buehler would be pitching on 3 days rest tomorrow, and they need him more than ever now because the Dodgers have their walls to the back, and you can't have Buehler and Julio Urias in your bullpen or in your dugout when you're trying to fight for your season's life. And it makes complete sense to have Walker Buehler start tomorrow night's game on 3 days rest. And if the Dodgers win like they expect to, then you'll have Julio Urias starting on regular rest at Oracle Park in San Francisco, where the Giants have not fared well against left-handed pitching and certainly did not have any answers for Julio in Game 2 of the NLDS. So that's the way the Dodgers are drawing it out. They just need their offense now to cooperate and score some runs tomorrow. We've talked about this all season long. The Dodgers have a good offense, but it seems to be very inconsistent. And that's been a microcosm. This series has been a microcosm of the entire regular season, where the Dodgers did not score in Game 1. They come out and score 9 in Game 2. And then tonight again, they get shut out. So, boom or bust, which Dodger offense will we see tomorrow night here at Dodger Stadium? 866-987-2570. Let's go out to Patrick, who is out here at Dodger Stadium. How you doing, Patrick?
Hey, Dave, how we doing?
Still here at a windy Dodger Stadium, but Rick Monday's here to keep me warm.
It was whipping through the stadium tonight, Dave, and you know what? I was out there with my boys, and we were waiting for the Dodgers to really get us going tonight, and we felt a little disappointed. The thing they're calling card or the Dodger way was pass the baton. I feel like the guys were present tonight. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. That's the calling card, and we started to hear that phrase again the last week of the regular season, and it felt like guys were just trying to do it too much themselves. But give Alex Wood a lot of credit for what he did, because as I mentioned, Mark McGwire sent me a text on what he was doing so well. He was missing low in the strike zone. He didn't miss in the big part of the plate. And the only two hits the Dodgers got were off the bat of the most professional hitter in Albert Pujols. So hopefully tomorrow, Patrick, they pass the baton, because we did not see it again tonight.
Mookie had him on second twice. They didn't bring him in. We're rooting for the Dodgers. We're rooting for you guys. Come on, Dodgers, bring him back tomorrow. Let's go get him, Dodgers. Come on, boys. Let's go get him tomorrow.
All right, Patrick, I love it. Yeah, don't lose faith in this team. They have been resilient, overcoming a lot of different things that have gotten their way to win 106 games and to be here in the NLDS against the San Francisco Giants. So this team does not want their season to end tomorrow night, and they're going to do everything in their power to try to extend it at least one more game, game five of the NLDS. And I think it's evident that the Dodgers are all in, having Walker Buehler more than likely start on 3 days rest to try to force that game five and give Julio Urias a chance to win it and send the Dodgers to the NLCS. But I'm not worried about the pitching. It's the offense. Which offense are we going to see night to night? We don't know. Let's go out to Allen, who is at Dodger Stadium tonight. Hi, Alan. You're on Dodger Talk.
Hey, David. How's it going?
Tremendous. What's up?
Do you think at any point in this year that we'll be able to see Tony Gonsolin? I feel like the Dodgers haven't used him in the bullpen or in any time during the games this whole series.
Yeah, well, if the Dodgers would have won tonight, you more than likely would have seen Tony start the game tomorrow night. But since this is a win or go home situation now, do or die, they need Walker Buehler on short rest. So in a playoff series, Alan, things change, and you can't leave your season to Tony Gonsolin.
Yeah. Do you think on game five we'll be able to see Scherzer on 2 days rest? Maybe.
Who is whispering to you? Who wanted to know about Scherzer?
It's my friend next to me. He wanted to know about Scherzer.
Okay, let's just – all good, all good. I'll take all questions from everybody in the car. I think we'll see Scherzer on regular rest in the NLCS. I don't believe you'll see him in Game 5, and that's why it lines up so perfectly to have Buehler start on 3 days rest tomorrow and then have Julio back in Oracle Park for a Game 5, because he has delivered more times than not. And maybe he's a good luck charm for the offense, because he's getting close to 7 runs of run support every time he starts. Thanks a lot for the phone call. Appreciate it. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Let's go out to El Paso, Texas. Sam, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Sam.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to talk to you about just the irony of tonight. It just seems like, I mean, I'm not from, I go to a lot of games out there, but that wind, like, of all nights,
yeah.
Like San Francisco brought that freaking wind down to L.A.
Yeah, no kidding. Havoc. It felt
and
like
then,
Candlestick Park, for sure.
Exactly, yeah. And then the irony of today, former Dodger Wood controls the Dodger, TK wins it for the Red Sox, and Jock takes care of it for the Braves. I mean, it just, you know, it's like kind of full circle. But anyways, I don't know about tomorrow, Buehler going. I don't know what you think about that. The Giants,
I love
starting
it. I love it. I want Walker Buehler out there. I don't want my season in the hands of Tony Gonsolin. I want it in the hands of Walker Buehler. And that's no disrespect to Tony.
Okay. Okay. I just figured because that –
Hey, Sam, in the playoffs, if you want to win the World Series, you need your best pitchers to push themselves to the limits to save your team. We saw that from Oral Hershiser in the 88 World Series and postseason run. We saw it from Julio last year, and now we need Walker Buehler to do the same, and he is up for it. Trust me.
All right. Hopefully Julio comes through Game 5. Well, I know he will. Just tomorrow.
It's not about the pitchers. They've been doing their job all season long. Let's see if the Dodger offense can step up as well. Thanks for the phone call. 866-987-2570. And it looked like the Dodger offense was going to come back against the Giants bullpen, especially in the seventh inning when Mookie Betts hit a laser that looked like it was going to go over the head of Brandon Crawford, but he showed he's got some hop still in those legs and robbed Mookie of what would have been a game-tying base hit, maybe a double. And for me, that was not only the play of the game, but also the play of the series so far. Let's go out to Encino. Fred, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Fred.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Dave. Couple things. One, I would personally, if when you score, you know, zero runs, you look for things like this. But I would have liked to see Cody in there for at least one at bat. All the little stuff that they were throwing. You know, I like this swing. He seems to be coming around in previous games, and I would have liked to see him with those shots. And secondly, I think your buddies who are the hitting instructors, I think you know them pretty good.
I don't really know him that well. I know Brant Brown really well. That's about it.
Yeah. I mean, I think they need new hitting instructors. You know, these guys, I think we overswing way too much, and we take a lot of good pitches.
Hey, Fred, let me ask you a question. You're blaming the hitting coaches. Let me read you off the Dodgers starting lineup tonight. Trey Turner, Mookie Betts, Trey Turner, Corey Seager, Justin Turner. Let's start right there. Do you feel like those four guys don't have an idea of what they want to do? They're pretty good hitters, in my opinion, and you're going to blame the hitting coaches for that?
I am. I think these guys need help.
I disagree with that. I think you have all-stars up and down this lineup. The only all-star that was never an all-star in his career was Will Smith, Fred. And I think the Dodger hitters have got to do a better job themselves.
I think they need help.
All right. Everybody needs help, but they're the ones in the batter's box. And frankly, hitting these days is a lot harder than ever before. We've heard former players, current players say that. Tim Wallach, who was on pregame Dodger Talk on Saturday, said that. But the biggest thing that everybody always tells me, as a hitter, you have to have a plan. And you would imagine that these guys have a plan. I know at times it doesn't look like it with certain guys, but the first four guys, I have a lot of trust in them. And I said this on Saturday. You know, the Dodger bench is not what it used to be. They don't have Verdugo. They don't have Kike. They don't have Jock Peterson. They don't have David Fries. So the guys in the starting lineup are the guys that are going to have to deliver. If they don't deliver, there's nowhere else to turn. Dave Roberts had Gavin Lux to turn to in the ninth inning, and he almost delivered. Outside of Gavin Lux and tonight Cody Bellinger, who has not had a great year, he's a one-swing guy. You're hoping that you get that one swing and it delivers like it has two of the four games of this postseason. But let's face it, the Dodger bench is not as deep as it was even a year ago, and that has been the difference as far as the offense. If a guy's struggling, there's nowhere else to turn. The only thing I could say in the ninth inning, with Camilo Duval throwing 100 miles an hour, facing A.J. Pollock, a right-handed hitter against a right-handed pitcher, throwing that cheese, as Dennis Eckersley would say, maybe get a left-hander like Matt Beatty in there with a shorter swing. That's the only thing I could say you could have gone to the well on. Other than that, you need your guys to deliver. And Mookie Betts almost delivered in the seventh inning, but Brandon Crawford made the play of the game. And let's hear from Brandon Crawford, who spoke to the media after the game.
I mean, it's definitely in my mind. I'm not keeping it out of my mind. But like you said, I mean, I've hit some balls pretty hard that haven't fallen. And just obviously trying to stay as positive as I can. And really not take my at-bats to the field. You know, just try and keep playing defense, keep us in the game out there, and, you know, just trying to believe that at some point.
And that's Evan Longoria and Brandon Crawford at the podium together. That's Longoria speaking right now.
Like that all your career, but in that moment with Mookie Betts and the situation, you know, what it goes through you, how do you make that play?
There's not a whole lot of time for anything really to go through my head. Just catch the ball. That's all I'm thinking. I think it had a little bit of topspin on it, fortunately, so I was able to just and it was right over my head, so I was able to just jump and hope that it goes in my glove.
Go here on the right side.
Evan, can you take us through that at bat, and then with the wind being what it was, like when you hit it, you got it pretty good, but did you know you got all of it given the conditions tonight?
I mean, I knew I got every bit of it as far as how hard I could hit a baseball, I wasn't quite sure that it was going to go out. The conditions tonight were crazy. We were talking about coming over. It's like, I don't think I've stepped out of the box as many times in my career as I have, you know, mid at bat tonight. A couple of times I felt like I was going to get blown over by the wind. A lot of dust in the eyes, and so it was definitely a little bit more difficult environment to hit in and play in tonight. But I was thinking if that ball didn't go out tonight, I might have just cashed it in.
Next question. Go right here.
For either of you, for the bullpen to cover as many innings as it did, and for Rogers and Duvall to really get stretched out, how impressive and important was that in tonight's game?
That was huge. That was what helped us win the game for sure. Alex had a great start, but then Roger to come in and throw two plus, which I don't think he did all year. Duvall to throw two innings, I don't know if he did that all year. And put up zeros is obviously we only scored one run, so that's what helped us win that game.
Wow, very exciting guys right there, Evan Longoria and Brandon Crawford. Jeez, you would think they lost the game tonight. Can we get a little bit more energy out of those two guys? You made the play of the game, and it sounded like you let the ball go off your glove, Crawford. Jeez, somebody at UCLA talk to that guy. The Giants get the win 1-0 in Game 3 of the NLDS. It is win or go home for the Dodgers tomorrow night here at Dodger Stadium. And more than likely, Walker Buehler will be on the mound for the Dodgers on 3 days rest, trying to force a Game 5 in the NLDS, which would be at Oracle Park on Thursday night. All right, when we come back here on Dodger Talk, live from Dodger Stadium, we'll take more of your phone calls at 866-987-2570. Plus, we'll hear from Jerry Harrison Jr. The Dodgers fall to the San Francisco Giants tonight, 1-0 on AM 570 LA Sports.
On air at AM 570, online at AM570LASports.com, and available by podcast on the iHeartRadio app. This is Dodger Talk with David Bassett.
We are live at Dodger Stadium, where the San Francisco Giants take a 2-1 lead on the Dodgers with a 1-0 victory in Game 3 of the NLDS. They are looking to advance to the NLCS with the win tomorrow night, but the Dodgers more than likely will have Walker Buehler standing in their way against Anthony DeSclafani, a starting pitcher the Dodgers have seen 6 times already this season and have done some damage against them. But tonight, the Dodgers had no answer for their former teammate Alex Wood, who only gave up 2 hits in 4 2/3 innings tonight and shut down the Dodgers, as did the Giants' bullpen, to get a 1-0 win thanks to a home run by Evan Longoria leading off the 5th inning. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. We'll get back to your calls in just a moment, but we want to check in with Sportsnet LA analyst Jerry Harrison Jr. And Jerry, just your thoughts on the way the game went tonight.
Yeah, it's just unfortunate. You mentioned Alex Wood. He really pitched a really good ball game for the Giants. He understood what he needed to do. A lot more fastballs than I expected, Alex, maybe because the wind was howling out to right. He started pounding the righties more in off the plate with his fastball. Pretty good slider command. Mixes up his pitches. I really thought the Dodgers would have had a chance to get to him, especially after that long top of the first inning. Usually when you have a long top of the first inning, that starting pitcher, when he comes back out for the bottom half of the first, he's done warming up, 20, 30 minutes prior, and I thought he wouldn't find his footing. He was able to do so. Got on the roll, and then the bullpen did a great job shutting down this Dodger offense. If you would have told me the Dodgers would have been shut out in two games of the three games they played to start the series, I would have said no chance. That's not going to happen. But, you know, it happened. But hopefully the Dodgers turn the page tomorrow. I have a feeling Walker Buehler will take the mound. Dodgers score some runs off of Discofani and force game five.
I have no doubts in Walker Buehler, Jerry, but I have my doubts in this Dodger offense and which one we're going to see. But I guess it bodes well because Discofani is a guy the Dodgers have hit during the course of the season.
They're very familiar with him. They've seen him six or seven times this year. They know his tendencies. He has made a lot of mistakes during the regular season against the Dodgers. The Dodgers have capitalized on him. You know what? Manager Dave Roberts made a point after game one. You know, the Dodgers sometimes will get in a rut offensively, and I think they get into the driver mode. You know, let's say the golf analogy that Dave Roberts used, they use that driver and not use the 8-iron, not using that the 56-degree wedge. You got to have a little short game. And I think especially against this giant staff, you better be able to have that short game, put the ball in play, go the other way, shorten up. You know, there's teams I've played with in the past when we're facing a team that will nibble. You know, we tell each other as an offense, hey, we're going up there in a two-strike approach. You know what I'm saying? We're going a two-strike approach. We're putting the ball in play, put pressure on the opposition. And when the Dodgers do that, when they pass the baton, that's when they hit their home runs. You know, so hopefully they come out tomorrow with that approach. You know, pass the baton, shorten up a little bit, go on a line the other way. I know it's a lot easier said than done. I know how hard this game is. I haven't forgotten. But when you go with that mentality, go with that approach, when the Dodgers do that, that's when the offense comes alive.
Jerry, the wind is affecting my voice because it's so dusty here at Dodger Stadium. How much did it affect the game on both sides?
It affected both teams. You know, Longo to the full side absolutely crushed that ball, and he was able to get it out. Gavin Lux crushed that ball, but it was the other way. I think it was Jeff Passan sent out a tweet saying four Dodgers hit the ball that hard at that launch angle, and all four of them went out this year. Gavin's was the only one that didn't go out. I thought off the bat it was gone. And so did Duggar, the center fielder. Was a really good center fielder. He had a great jump on the ball, and he knew it was probably going to go over the wall, but he seen him pump the brakes and come back on the ball. That tells you the wind really knocked it down. Both teams had to deal with it. The Dodgers, the Giants did what they needed to do to win this ball game. You could talk about the wind being a factor. You could talk about it didn't go your way. Mookie Betts scalded two balls today. He had nothing to show for it. Hopefully, tomorrow, the tide turns in the Dodgers' favor. Have good at-bats. I really believe we force a game five, we win the series.
Jerry, as far as Mookie Betts, the ball that he hit in the seventh inning, everybody up here in the booth believed that that was going to go over Crawford's head, and somehow, some way, he still had the hops to be able to make that grab and end the seventh inning. Is there any doubt in your mind that Souza scores from second base if that ball gets over Crawford's head?
Absolutely. No doubt in my mind he scores. Again, Brandon Crawford's been a great shortstop in this league for a long time. He is a great player. That's not an easy jump. You know, he timed it perfectly at his highest point. And I say this all the time, man. Baseball players are the best athletes, man. They have to do everything. They got to be able to jump, run, throw like quarterbacks at different positions, throw accurately. And Brandon Crawford is such an important part point in the game, makes a game-saving catch there and really shifted the momentum. I really believe that ball was ticking to the left field. He just made a great play.
Wasn't this game indicative of what has made the Giants the best team in baseball record-wise, Jerry? Everybody wonders, how have they done it all season long? Well, the sum is greater than the parts, but they got a hit from a guy that was in a huge slump, hadn't had a hit in 22 at-bats. He was 3-4 his previous 44 coming into the game. Longoria hits that home run off of Max Scherzer. They get great defensive plays by Duggar in center, that play by Brandon Crawford, and they win 1-0. Isn't that how the Giants have done it all year long?
They've done it all year long. You know, Farhan has done an incredible job with that team. Manager Gabe Kapler's done an incredible job. They got baseball players, man. They got guys that a lot of clubs gave up on, players. So what they did was they grabbed the Solanos, the Duggars, the Evan Longorios, who some would say he's a little bit too old, and then have invigorated Buster Posey, who's the champion. They have tremendous baseball players, and they play good together. And it's no secret why they won 107, well, how many games they won?
107.
Play good baseball. They catch baseball. They pitch extremely well. And they play good baseball. You know, when the age of analytics.
Oh, Jerry, you're in cell hell, Jerry. Jerry, we'll end it right there. We'll catch up with you later in this series, okay? All right, there he goes, Jerry Harrison Jr. Even Jerry's got some sell hell leaving Dodgers Stadium, but good insight from Jerry. You can catch him after every game on Sportsnet LA, even though the games are on national TV. So it's one of those things for the Dodgers where this race, this season has been so close between these two teams, and tonight was indicative of the way the whole season has gone between these two ball clubs. One run, one play separates the winner and the loser, and I would fully expect this series to go five games. You wouldn't expect anything less the way all 19 head-to-head matchups went this year and the way the regular season went down to the final day of the year. So I would fully expect this to go five games because, like I mentioned and was so confident about the Dodgers' chances in Game 2, it all has to do with the starting pitching. Logan Webb has been the Giants' best starter all season long. Kevin Gausman has not been very good the second half of the year. Anthony DeSclafani tomorrow night has not done well against the Dodgers. And you always hear about hitters saying if you see a certain pitcher more than three times, you start to feel a lot more comfortable. And this will be the seventh time the Dodgers will see DeSclafani this season. So I have no doubts that the Dodger offense will find a way to score runs tomorrow night. Let's go out to Rancho Cucamonga. Gabriel, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Gabriel.
Hey, David. Thanks for taking my call. You know, frustrating loss tonight. But I really, you know, I think back after a loss like today, I think back to last year in the NLCS after the Dodgers fell behind 3-1. And then they came back in one of those games. They want to say it was game five. And they scored a ton of runs in the first inning. So I think this team has it within them when their backs against the wall, where they seem to have that, you know, pass the baton approach. So I think that's going to happen tomorrow. I think we'll see that, and hopefully, you know, the Giants use a lot of their big pieces in today's game. You know, for multiple innings with Rodgers and Duvall, and even Jake McGee for an inning. So I think they use their bullpen. So I think their bullpen hopefully is tapped out for tomorrow. If it's a close game, hopefully that works in our favor.
Yeah, you're right. That'll be interesting to see after using Duvall for two innings tonight whether or not the Giants try to go to the well with him tomorrow night. He's a young guy, but usually you don't see a relief pitcher come back the very next day after pitching two innings. So that may work in the Dodgers' advantage. So there's a lot of things working in the Dodgers' advantage. The Giants right now, let's be honest, are playing with house money tomorrow night because if they don't win tomorrow night, I'm sure they're feeling pretty good about their chances in a Game 5 in their home ballpark with Logan Webb on the mound, a pitcher the Dodgers had no answers for in Game 1 of this NLDS. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to San Diego. Luke, you're on Dodger Talk. How you doing, Luke?
I'm doing all right, David. How are you?
Hanging in there, Luke.
Yeah, so I had a question about Dave Roberts' choice of Austin Barnes as a pinch hitter. I think it was maybe it was the eighth inning or the sixth inning, one of the two. You know, they called up Austin Barnes.
It was actually in the seventh inning. It was in the seventh inning with two on and one out. And I know what you're going to ask. Why Austin Barnes in that situation? Well, that was the last right-handed hitter on the bench, Luke. And Tyler Rogers is one of those reverse splits guys. Right-handed hitters are hitting .299 against him. So if Rogers comes out of the game, Dave Roberts sees Jake McGee warming up the left-hander. So it's a win-win situation. And that was the last right-hander he had on the bench.
Oh, there you go. Okay, well, I mean, if that's the case,
I was asking
then,
myself
you know,
the same question, Luke, but then I started to look all that stuff up, and I knew somebody like you might call in and have the same question.
Makes sense. One further question. Tomorrow, is there a chance that we see Urias? I really hope not, because I'd like
no.
to see him start for Game 5. But if
No, you won't see him tomorrow. They're going to save him for Game 5. He'll start Game 5.
That's what I figured. All right.
He'll
well,
start Game 5 on regular too. Rest.
Yep, that's the idea.
All right, Luke. Thanks a lot for the phone call. And hopefully the Dodgers can put up some runs against DeSclafani and maybe have a four-run lead by the fifth inning. And then from there, it's a lot less stressful of a game. And maybe you don't have to push Walker Buehler six or seven innings. Hopefully you can get him out of there with at least a four- or five-run lead by the fifth inning. 866-987-2570. Let's go up to Vancouver, Washington. Bob, back-to-back shows. How you doing?
Hi, Dave. I respect your opinion and would like to get your thoughts on something. When you're struggling like Cody is, you know, Rick is very good about explaining stance, handhold, bat position. But when does a slump become mental rather than just physical?
Well, it's a big part of it. It's all, I would say baseball, many people say, is a more of a mental game than physical game. But Cody, I could tell you, Bob, doesn't feel like he's in a slump. In fact, he answered a number of different questions before Game 2 about his whole season that was a slump. In fact, the lowest batting average for an MVP since Thurman Munson in 1967 or so with 250 at-bats. But he's made the changes. He's trying to get better, and I don't think you can classify it as a slump when he comes up with a big hit with the bases loaded in a playoff game. So I feel like he's trending in the right direction.
I feel sorry for him, but he's such a great player.
Yeah, he's a great player and an even better person, and everybody's rooting for Cody Bellinger. And look, there was a left-hander on the mound tonight. He hasn't been the same Cody Bellinger, and Albert Pujols has been incredible against left-handed pitching this year, and it turned out to be the right matchup. Pujols was the only Dodger to get a hit off of Alex Wood while he was in there tonight. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Dodgers lose 1-0 to the San Francisco Giants in Game 3 of the NLDS. The last time the Dodgers lost 1-0 at Dodger Stadium in a playoff game, the 1983 NLCS Game 1 against the Phillies. Let's head downstairs right now to hear from the San Francisco Giants starter and former Dodger, Alex Wood.
Yeah, it's a tall task going against those guys when they face you so many times. I mean, top to bottom, they're just really a great group of professional hitters. You know, they have a plan of what they're doing at bat to bat, depending on who they're facing. And so, you know, that's always been one of my favorite parts, you know, of being a pitcher and being a starter is that chess match going back and forth. And so just trying to kind of think along with them, thinking about what they think I'm going to throw and where to go from there. But the biggest thing against the lineup with that is just execution. I felt like we executed for the most part tonight. You know, they put a little bit of pressure on. I think it was the fourth or fifth. But just executing and guys making plays behind us. And so I felt good tonight. You know, just wanted, you know, anytime you go up against Max Scherzer, you know, it's going to be a long night. And so just to keep it close, give our guys a chance to scrap a run across. And then the bullpen, I mean, it's hard to say enough about what they did tonight. I mean, multiple innings from Raj, Doval, Jake's thrown like one inning in the last 4 weeks. You know, just truly special performances across the board. And on a weird night, you know, this is 5 years of playing here. I've never seen the weather and the wind like it was tonight. It was just really odd. You know, it felt like we were kind of playing in San Francisco a little bit more so than LA. But just a great team win. It really was.
Go left side.
Oh, you took part of my question there, Alex, with the weather. You've pitched here countless times. You said you'd never seen it like that. Max said it was pushing him off the mound towards home plate. How did it affect you? What were you experiencing in those conditions?
Yeah, I mean, it was the first inning or two, it was definitely, the wind was definitely going more than it was, you know, I felt like the rest of the game, I felt like it died down a little bit, at least around the infield. You know, I wasn't trying to get too caught up in what the wind was doing. I was just trying to execute, make pitches, attack those guys. I knew they were going to be aggressive, knew we had to execute, and we had a good game plan, and we went in, Buster called a great game, and, you know, the rest is history.
Scott on the left side.
Alex, given your history here, head-to-head against Max Scherzer, your lifelong plan to continue to be a starter, how gratifying was tonight for both you, yourself individually, and what you're able to do to lift your teammates up?
Yeah, for sure. You know, these are the moments that test you. You know, if you're in the big leagues, if you're a big league ball player, you know, you're one of the best at what you do on planet Earth. And so, you know, you work hard all off season. You work hard all season for things to culminate in moments like these. And for, you know, it to go my way tonight and our team's way after the work that we put in all year and the work that I know those guys do day in and day out is really special. And so, you know, it feels great, but we still got some work to do. You know, they're a great ball club. They really are. And so we'll have to come ready to play tomorrow. We know they will. And so we'll see what happens this next game or two.
All right, there's former Dodger Alex Wood, who pitched a great game for the Giants tonight. 4 2/3 scoreless innings, had 4 strikeouts, was taken out in the 5th inning with 2 outs because Gabe Kapler, who is married to analytics, does not believe in allowing starters or certain starters to go through a lineup 3 times, and he obviously felt that was the case with Alex Wood, and he did a great job. And like I mentioned earlier in the show, Mark McGuire sent me a text, and I asked him what he saw from Alex Wood tonight, and he said he pitched like Clayton Kershaw. He pounded the inner part of the plate to right-handed hitters, and when he didn't miss low in the strike zone, he did not miss up. And that was a big part of it. When he missed in the strike zone, he missed low. He didn't miss up. And if he would have missed up higher in the plate, it would have been center cut, as they say. And Alex Wood, whenever he missed outside of the strike zone, he missed down in the zone instead of missing up in the strike zone. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to Kevin in Culver City. You're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Kevin.
David, brother. Tough game. You know, you can't get 0 runs with Max Scherzer on the mound. I mean, you can't waste that effort. It was a great effort for Max. We got to put runs on the board. You know, it was tough to see that Mookie play. I thought we were going to be up 2-1 after that hit. Crawford robbed him, and the wind was just a horrible factor in this game. I mean, Gavin Lux, that game's normally tied. And, you know, the wind, it just felt like a different vibe in the stadium, even with the crowd noise and the fans. Just felt like everybody was kind of like in a daze, like it was an elimination game, and it felt like we were tied. I don't know what impact the wind had on it, but it felt a lot different. I feel confident about Walker tomorrow. And I'm guaranteeing you, the San Francisco Giants don't want to see Julio, my man, Cy Young Award winner, Urias, in Game 5, because we're taking in San Francisco, baby. Keep confident, Dave. We got this. The bats will get up tomorrow.
All right, Kevin, thanks for the phone call. Hey, if they don't get up against Anthony DeSclafani, then they don't deserve to win this series. I expect the Dodger offense to put up some runs against DeSclafani, a right-hander that they have seen a lot, in fact, 6 times already this season. This will be the 7th time that the Dodgers have seen Anthony DeSclafani. So if they don't put up runs early for Walker Buehler, they don't deserve to win this series. Let's go out to Randall in Austin, Texas. You're on Dodger Talk. How you doing, Randall?
Hey, David. Thanks for taking the call. Thinking about it's late here, but the energy you bring to some of these callers who have these badass ideas is admirable.
Thanks.
If I was in a bar fight, I would definitely be bringing you. But somebody I would not be bringing, maybe a whole team. It looks like if you watch the first game, in the wild card in this one, it kind of reminds me when I'm from LA. I used to work on the oil rig, and now I'm here drilling. But the way the Lakers used to stand around on those bad Kobe teams, and he would just go crazy, and they would expect him to carry it. I feel like the last 2 games, Max pitch, he's gotten a bunch of guys just kind of like chess pieces watching the game. And I wanted to get your opinion on the Giants get deep in these counts. I feel like we watch strike one and strike two go by every at bat, and we're swinging from behind. And the last five or the last six outs were fly outs, so maybe that's something to take into consideration. They're swinging for whatever they can get to stay alive. But thanks,
Dave. Yeah, no problem, Randall. And look, the Dodgers were successful in game two because they were aggressive with the first pitch. A lot of times the best pitch you're going to see is the first one of the at-bat. So I feel like the Dodgers have got to get back to being aggressive. And when they're aggressive, that means that they're aggressive in swinging at pitches in the strike zone and not swinging at pitches outside of the strike zone. That's what made them successful this year. That's what's made the Giants successful this year. And basically, Alex Wood told me earlier in this year that the reason why the Giants have been so good is because it reminds him of the Dodger offenses of the past, where Giant hitters don't swing at pitches outside of the strike zone. I've seen a lot of Dodgers chase pitches outside of the strike zone that they normally would not swing at. So they have to get back to what we saw in game two and be aggressive. And if they do that, which I fully expect to see in game four, then they'll be successful. Everybody keeps talking about Buehler and Urias. I have no doubt those two guys are going to do their jobs. What still needs to be proven to me consistently is that this Dodger offense is going to have the right approach that we have seen at times this year, but we haven't seen consistently. In this series, the first three games have been very indicative of what we have seen all season long, and that's boom or bust. And the Dodgers have the players. They just have to remind themselves, let's not all try to be the hero. I know every one of these guys in this lineup has been the man, has won games for teams, but look, you're not going to do it by yourself. The Giants are proof of that. That's the way that they have worked all year long. That's the way the Dodgers have worked the previous 8 years. And they have to just, you know, no matter how much you think about your ability, you can't do it alone. You got to get help from everybody else. The guy in front of you, the guy behind you, two guys behind you. And if it's not your pitch, you can't swing at it. And look, like I said, they've got all-stars up and down this lineup. But you can't do it by yourself, no matter how good you think you are. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to Sandy, who is at Dodger Stadium tonight. Hi, Sandy. You're on Dodger Talk.
Hi, David. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course. Walk us off.
Okay. Well, I have to admit, I didn't get in there until about the third inning and get to my seat until about the fourth. I had an emergency root canal. But
well, yikes.
I wanted to say, yeah, I know. It was painful. Anyways, not as painful as us losing, though. I do agree that it seemed like, you know, around the seventh inning, it just seemed like all of them were just trying to swing for the fences. And I hope that they all get together and realize that, yeah, you can't do it alone. You got to just pass the baton. I mean, when they were doing that during the season, so a lot of them were getting walks and, you know, we were getting runs by getting, you know, runs walked in. So, you know, I just think that they need to get to that. And a couple of my other comments I was going to make were already covered. But one thing I do want to say, because this might be one of the last times I, you know, talk to you for this season, Dodger management, they all say they love us as fans and, you know, they appreciate the sellouts and everything else. But I got to tell you, when I come in and I can't get a rally towel, they can't afford to give rally towels. I mean, come on. I mean, the
hey, Sandy, next time you want a rally towel, I'll get you one. I don't know what to say to that, but next time you want a rally towel, I'll make it happen for you. I got to run. We're running up against it, but I understand your frustration getting into the ballpark late. Sometimes things run out, and people take multiple towels, and it just runs out maybe at the entrance you're coming in at. So I feel like this ownership and this management has done a pretty good job of treating the Dodger fans pretty well. All right. Thanks for the phone call. Anyway, Hey, look, I'm very happy to help people out with rally towels. If they need rally towels, I will help you out. Daniels Jewelers Home Run Forecast congratulates Lisa Armijo, who receives a $50 Daniels Jewelers gift card for correctly predicting the number of home runs in the game. For your chance to win a $50 gift card, good at over 100 Daniels locations, go to am570lasports.com, keyword home run. One other game that was played tonight was in Boston, and it came down to the final at-bat, and guess who delivered for Beantown? That was Kike Hernandez.
The kick and the pitch. Swing. There's a drive to left center field. It's going to win it. Meadows goes over and makes the catch. Santana tags. Here he comes, and the throw is very wide and late, and the Red Sox have won the division series. A sacrifice fly by Kike Hernandez, bringing home Danny Santana with a winning run.
And Kike Hernandez had a spectacular October so far for Boston. He sends them on to the ALCS. They'll play the winner of the Astros and Chicago White Sox series. So you're welcome, Boston, for Kike Hernandez. And great to see Alex Verdugo excel, and great to see Alex Cora on the field so emotional with his daughter Camila. It was great. It was a great scene out there at Fenway Park, and I don't usually say that too often, but very happy for Kike Hernandez, Alex Verdugo, and Alex Cora, all former Dodgers. The Dodgers here, the current Dodgers, are looking to force a Game 5 tomorrow night at Dodger Stadium with Walker Buehler likely on the mound. Nothing official yet, but all signs are pointing to Buehler pitching on 3 days rest against Anthony DeSclafani. Morongo Casino Dodgers on Deck begins at 5 o'clock with first pitch at 6:07. That'll do it for us tonight from a windy Dodger Stadium. Thanks to Dwayne McDonald out here at Chavez Ravine with me. Thanks to Colin Yee back at our Burbank Studios. Thanks to Jerry Harrison Jr. for checking in. And thanks to you for listening. In case you missed any of the show, you could podcast it on the iHeartRadio app or at am570lasports.com. Once again, the final score here at Dodger Stadium in Game 3 of the NLDS, the San Francisco Giants take a 2-1 lead with a 1-0 shutout victory over the Dodgers. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great night. See ya.